Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
It's football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
With 40 seconds to play, and now they call a timeout. Kreider is the long snapper to win the ball game. Brandon McManus, a high snap, hold is good, kick is on its way, it is no good, and the Texans will hang on and win it 19-17. It's their sixth consecutive victory after starting 0-3.
I let these guys down, and I gotta do better and you know, play a bigger role and help and bounce this team back. Obviously, you know, they got it down there, you know, give me a chance at it. And, you know, like I said, I can't complain about anything like that other than just terrible kicks.
Oof. Brandon McManus. Face of the music.
Here's my hot take.
Is it Hot Take Monday?
No, but this is my hot take.
All right.
On really the first week where we can... can really see what the real value is of Marquette King. When he was the holder, he was perfect.
Okay.
Now, people don't believe that there is a relationship between the holder and the kicker is just executing. But confidence is something else, man. And
well, I understand Marquette King is available, Al, if you want to bring him back.
No, I'm just saying, I'm just letting you know.
Well, should we bring back Marquette King?
Listen, dude, listen. Okay, I'm telling you something that you hadn't thought of. Okay, Marquette King and this guy were a good combination for whatever reason. I don't know if it's because of personality or the way that they talk, the way that they handle each other, but that's, you know, that's gone. And with it, I think, is a little bit of confidence. So it's something that you can think about. You know, even though Marquette King wasn't good and he was a distraction, when your kicker is perfect, you know, I try my best to leave things alone when they're going really good in one area or the other.
I'm not joking. He's cleared waivers. He didn't get picked up by anybody.
You don't bring him back. You don't bring him back. He's gone now.
You just were putting the blame on the game on
no, I didn't say
Colby
it was
Wadman
blame.
And in the chemistry.
I'm just telling you, when it happened, I told you the reason why you wouldn't cut Marquette King is because Brandon McManus was perfect. So, without Brandon McManus and the combination, he's not perfect.
Well,
so
why wouldn't you bring him back then?
Because you've already moved away from that guy. Once you make the decision, you have to be very clear about the decision. Once you make the clear decision, you have to stay the course. Period.
Oh, okay. Guys come on and off the roster all the time.
Not at that position. And I think that he was a social misfit for this team.
Well, then either he's a good thing for the team or he's not.
I was just telling you what the facts were when he was here.
If it's a hot take, you got to advocate for him to come back.
I'm not advocating one way or the other. I'm just telling you what happened.
See your hot take all the way through. I mean, have a real hot take.
You're ridiculous sometimes. I'm telling you that. I'm just giving you the history, the short history of those two together.
Yes, and I'm saying I really don't know what you're saying because I think that's silly. Colby Wideman does a fine job.
Oh, he does.
And if you're really serious about
what does he say to him?
If you're really serious about your hot take, then hire him back.
What does he say to him going out there on the kick?
What is he talking about?
What is the warm up like? Is there something that he's saying to him? Like, no problem here. Is there communication? Dude, if you don't understand communication from one ball player to another in pressure situations, then you've lost it as a sports fan.
Okay, well, we'll ask Brandon McManus next chance we get.
Anybody that's played the game,
right.
Understand.
Right.
If it hasn't, they can't. And
that's fine.
I'm like, man, golly. There are these little intricacies in everything. Like when the Broncos are out there in third down situations, and you are noticing new combination of players every week. You see them looking at each other, pointing at each other, trying to communicate as the ball is being snapped. They are not comfortable with each other yet, and we are we're 9 weeks into the season, and they're still having pre-snap communications on critical downs. And Chris Harris yesterday was splitting the difference on two receivers because, you know, he was waiting for a linebacker to bump out, and that didn't happen till late. Those are communication issues.
Al, you're all wound up today.
I'm not.
What's going on?
I'm not wound up today, but I'm just telling you that those things happen when you're trying to learn who you're playing with. And the Broncos are certainly adding new players into the mix, dropping guys out the mix. We saw it happen yesterday with Demaryius Thomas when he didn't know what to do when he was playing for the Houston
Texans. Yeah, he almost cost him the game.
I mean, he jumped outside.
Wow, it was awesome.
That's what happens when communication isn't clear and you don't know what you're doing.
Then who was our dude that was just like pointing at Demaryius? That was Chris Harris?
That was Chris.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so that was Chris saying, that was him.
Chris. So, nanny, nanny, boo-boo, him.
Yeah, but this is why if you ever wanted to make an argument for increased off-season work, it's because of things like this. But you just never know what can happen in a football season. There could be an injury that causes a communication breakdown. Yesterday we had an offsides that was called on Bowles, but it really was Connor McGovern because both the tackles moved. So you know it was a center who was a new center stepping in for Paradis. So that's a communication issue that those guys have to work through and make sure that they're on the same page, but it's kind of hard to do that when you don't get a lot of reps. So those things, if you don't believe that communication is vital in those situations, it's not baseball. You know, you have to know what the guy next to you is doing.
We need a moment just to pause a tad, and we need to honor and think about for a second, perhaps even take off a hat. Isaiah McKenzie has been claimed by the Bills.
Too bad for him.
What do you mean? He was on the practice squad. Now he's on their 53.
Yeah, but he's in Buffalo.
But the road with the Broncos and Isaiah McKenzie is finally, Alfred, come to an end. You have any thoughts on the...
No, I just thought that they put him out there last year in situations that caused us games and made us look really bad. And
by the way, Adam Jones...
The young man that is... a learning NFL football player. Hopefully he can become a guy who stays around here, get vested, and has a NFL retirement after the end of the day.
Well, we'll miss you, Isaiah McKenzie. And when I say we'll miss you, we won't really miss you all that much. I got to give Pac-Man Jones credit. The dude doesn't fumble. Now, he runs around like a crazy guy, and the likelihood of him taking a punt back more than 6 or 7 yards is, well, apparently pretty slim. But dude hangs on to the ball, huh?
It's good to be able to at least feel the football and know that you're going to feel it every single time.
He was running like 50 yards every time. It was just like sideways and backwards, and he took a step up and then 3 steps back, and it was crazy. But he hung on to the ball. He does not fumble the ball. I'll give him that, Al. So that's the best we can hope for, right? Then he was screaming at Justin Simmons about that second touchdown. Like, that was...
He had outside leverage.
That was... Justin Simmons said it was his fault, not Pac-Man's fault.
Everything about Pac-Man and the way that he was covering on that play said that he had outside leverage and Justin Simmons had inside
leverage.
Did
the Broncos actually play a pretty good game yesterday?
They played a great game. They got beat on some plays, but this is the NFL. I mean, they played a great game. I mean, if Booker doesn't turn that ball over, the Houston Texans get a short field... Mm-hmm. And they turned it into a touchdown.
Right.
Okay, so we got a turnover. They didn't get a turnover.
Troy Rank will join us coming up next. What was the mood in the locker room like yesterday and today? And Was Vance Joseph close to being fired today? We'll get details with Troy next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web. 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Al and D-Mac.
Does she talk? Does she come complete? My homeroom, homeroom angel. From my seat. I was snowflake. God, you would think I would know this song. Oh, my angel can never call me babe. Troy Rang, our Denver 7 Broncos insider, presented by the Tranny Law Offices. Have you or someone you know been arrested for a DUI? Contact the Tranny Law Offices at 303-333-1816 for help. Troy, did you think Vance Joseph was going to be fired today?
I did not, because it was a competitive one lesson. I know how that sounds to Bronco fans, that that's what it's come to. But the only way he was going to get fired, given in talking to sources, if they were just blown out 31-3, 34-10, you know, and not even in the game after halftime. It was obviously a game they could have, probably should have won. So I was not surprised that he retained his job this morning.
That was the best game that we saw out of Case Keenum this year. It felt like that's what we were going to get at the beginning of the year. What changed yesterday? He even played with emotion.
You know, I think the knee injury bothered him a little bit. At times during this season, he's more comfortable moving around. They're calling more play action out, which he's good at. I mean, that's his strength if you look at his history. So I think a couple of things have happened. He's a little healthier. And they've tailored some of the calls to his strengths. And he recognizes the urgency of the moment. I mean, they needed to win yesterday to be relevant in the playoff conversation going forward. Now, frankly, they're not. But he did play well. That pass, I saw a case today and talked to him and told him I thought it was his best game as a Bronco. And that pass to Heinemann, and that was a laser. And the pass to Emmanuel Sanders on fourth down. I mean, again, I understand the criticism of him. I do. But yesterday, he played a pretty good game, and I think it was his best game as a Bronco.
Can we expect that going forward? Is he healthy now? With the bye coming up, I'm quite sure, you know, guys.
Wait, was he hurt?
Well, he said that he wasn't feeling well, so.
I'm saying he didn't look right because of the knee after that Oakland game. There were moments in those subsequent games, and he's never used it as an excuse. I'm just saying from observation, he didn't look as comfortable as he did earlier in the season. And I thought yesterday he looked healthy, and obviously he was on time more. And the play action helps him. There's no way around it. The play action really helps him. He's good at it.
Troy, what was the overall mood like in the locker room today? You talked to Case. It's a tough moment here because more or less it signals that the season's over with another loss.
Yeah, it's different than a year ago. I get asked this a lot because last year the locker room began to splinter. Guys were pointing fingers. Guys were freelance doing their own thing, you know, because you had more guys that were left over from the Super Bowl team. So to go through that last year was jarring. This year, unfortunately, they're a little more used to it. The veterans are still struggling with the losing, clearly. But there is hope this year that there wasn't last year because they've got a good core of young players developing. Bradley Chubb, Phillip Lindsay, Cortland Sutton, Josie Jewell. So last year you looked around the room and it was kind of a divide between veterans and some millennial guys that felt entitled that weren't contributing on the field. So it's a better vibe in there, but it's a disappointment is real. They know that loss pretty much doomed them yesterday. Chris Harris said it best, I thought. It's just they have no margin for error right now. And he said, I'm about winning. I mean, he's not okay with this, but guys aren't pointing fingers either like they were a year ago.
You speak about guys not pointing fingers. How about Demaryius Thomas at the end of the game sprinting to the locker room and then saying, hey, you know, I'm not part of that over there anymore. Those guys lose, and these guys over here, we win. I was something to that effect, but it kind of shocked me to hear that coming from
you
a
know,
guy.
You know, that was a Michael Silver story. You realize that, right?
Oh, so are you saying that he didn't say it?
No, here's what Silver does. I'm sure Demaryius did say it. But oftentimes, Silver gets guys, and maybe it's just a good reporter on his behalf, he gets guys to say things that I'm not really sure they either realize are on the record or they really meant to say. I mean, Michael Silver, Troy, has done that. Golly, I don't know why any athlete even talks to Michael Silver, but he's done that over and over again. So I'd be very, very curious what the context of that statement actually came from, Troy.
Yeah, in talking to a couple sources, I was in the Houston locker room at the very end, and I saw Demaryius as he walked out of the locker room. But in talking to people that were around, the context, like when you see it as a transcript, that quote sounds like a real jab at the Broncos.
Right.
I was told kind of like what you're saying, D-Mac, that he meant it more to show the guys with Houston, I'm all in, we're about winning here. Like, he was very careful all week in Houston to make people know, like, hey, I'm buying in Houston, not to make it like, oh, woe is me, I wish I was still in Denver. So some of the quotes that were stronger, because Demaryius isn't that guy, he doesn't almost ever talk trash. It was more to, like, his Houston teammates, like, hey, I don't know what they're about over here, we're about winning here. So it was meant and more as, hey, I'm with you guys now in Houston,
yeah.
Not like, oh,
right.
God, you know, thank God I'm not in Denver anymore.
But that's what Michael Silver does. So whenever you see a story with Michael Silver, it's not like he's making it up, but you really have to question the context of what it was, what and how it was said. That's all I would caution. As soon as I heard that this morning, and I heard it came from Michael Silver, I rolled my eyes. Like, that's just such a move of his. And again, good for him, I guess, right? Because it makes good copy, it makes big headlines. But that is so out of character for DT.
It didn't sound right. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, so
yeah. Again,
I take it with a grain of salt coming from Silver.
Yeah, I talked to people that were around him in the locker room the entire time, and they said a lot of the stuff that came across strong, it was really, he admitted he was trying to, he was making sure people in Houston knew he was all in for his new team. So it was much more about, hey, this is my new team than talking poorly about the Broncos.
And by the way, look at how they used Demaryius. They fed him a couple times, twice, obviously on purpose. And then it was one catch after the first series for the rest of the game. I mean, it wasn't, you know...
The reason they did that is because it was scripted. He didn't know the playbook. They didn't even go over the playbook with them. They just went over certain plays. So once it got into the second half, it was going to be unlikely. He was heavily involved at that point. But you can script things for a guy, and that's what they did. So it was kind of known on their sideline that after the first few series, it was going to be harder for him to be involved because he really didn't know the playbook. They just introduced certain plays to him so to make sure to get him involved without having to paralyze him with the playbook. Now they're on a bye, so he'll spend that time learning it.
All right, Troy. So Vance survives. The players move on. We get a bye week. Probably a right time for a deep breath here, right? And the rest of the year looks like what?
Well, again, that's part of the issue. Fans are mad. Like, why don't they fire Vance? Part of the issue is what would be the replacement on this staff? Bill Musgrave, he's got his issues with his own offense. He's not really seen as that personality, as a head coach type guy.
Oh, you could. I don't really buy that. You could put Tom McMahon in there. You could put Gary Kubiak in there as an interim.
Stop with the special teams guy being the head coach. I don't want to see that. Come on. Enough.
Yeah, but all you really, you know what?
In front of a room and rally players, like, it would get ugly. Nothing against Tom McMahon. But that's, ask Al. I mean, that's not going to happen. I mean, come on. Again, I get, but whatever.
Rally the guys, but Troy, rally the guys for what?
D-Mac,
what are we rallying the guys for at this point?
Well, to compete, be professional. And at this point, they're playing for pride, and they're playing for a draft choice, wherever that lands. I mean, that's the reality of it. To replace Vance now, for what? I mean, I know that Bronco fans don't want to hear that, but what would be, other than to just send a message to the public that his coaching is not acceptable, what does it prove then to change right now? I guess that would be my argument. Why they're staying the course is, frankly, they need to just develop young players, treat this as a rebuilding season, and then start fresh at the reset button on January 2nd, whatever that day is.
Troy, I got to ask you real quick, because it's already out there that you have coaches' names being floated out there. Bruce Arians' name was the latest to be floated out there for the Cleveland Browns job. Let me ask you this. What coach would take this situation here in Denver, it would have to be another first-time coach, right?
I think it would be someone a little younger, or it certainly not, hasn't been a head coach. Bruce Arians here with his personality and John Elway, I'm not sure I see the fit there. I mean, Bruce Arians found a GM in Arizona that finally gave him a chance, and they work well together, but he's a different cat in that way. I think for me, it has to be an offense if they go that direction. You know, we're getting the hypotheticals. It has to be an offensive guy. If it were my, I would go after Lincoln Riley of Oklahoma just to see what would it take to get Lincoln Riley.
Not going to happen. Why would he come to Denver? What I'm saying is, in this situation, right, with our current quarterback situation, that was the best game we saw out of Case Keenum. Do you believe there's a lot of upside to win this AFC West? Or is that next coach going to be here 2 years and get fired?
Well, the next coach, again, we're playing this out, connecting dots, would probably have Keenum for 1 year, and then you're drafting a quarterback and or setting it up to draft a quarterback. One of those years you're drafting a quarterback, either this spring or when Tua's eligible. You know, somewhere in there you're drafting a quarterback. You'd have to give that guy at least a 3-year window if he's going to have to play a new quarterback.
Why? Why not give Vance Joseph the same 3-year window?
Well, the problem is he's 2-10 on the road. He's never won a road game on Sunday.
But we're also saying that the new coach is going to be a loser too. But you're going to give him 3 years.
But Troy's already saying that Vance is a loser.
Well, you're saying the next coach is going to be a loser too.
Well, again, this is me framing it. In theory, I would be telling the coach, we are going to rebuild. We are in transition. We're not pretending we're contending right now. And we're going to develop a young quarterback.
All right, Troy, you're going to call. You're going to call on the other line, and we're like 5 minutes late. But we love you. We do. We love Troy Rank. Deeply.
Weird situations. I don't think most people are thinking about what they're saying.
The Kings Supers fan football pick'em. Very, very bad news for me. Very bad news. But good news for the Rockies. Details next.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Al and D-Mac.
Bud Black is a finalist for Manager of the Year. How about that? That's pretty cool.
See, I want you to feel it too.
Mm-hmm. Who are the other ones, Big Sexy? That's why I had it here, and now it went away.
Hear what I say. My feet want to move, so get out my way. I'm going to have my say. I'm going to every discotheque.
So you know, okay. Here we go. I got it. Never mind. Bud Black, Rockies, Craig Council, Brewers, Brian Snicker, Braves. Good luck to Bud Black. American League Manager of the Year, Kevin Cash, Rays, Alex Cora, Red Sox, Bob Melvin, Athletics. Well, we know who should win that. Cy Young Award winner, a finalist, Corey Kluber, Indians, Blake Snell, Rays, Justin Verlander, Astros, National League, Jacob DeGrom, Mets, Aaron Nola, Phillies, Max Scherzer, Nationals. Congratulations to Nolan and DJ. They both won Gold Gloves. For some reason, Trevor Story wasn't even the running for that, which is weird. But
baseball is so backwards. They wait too long for anybody to have any excitement about their postseason awards for the regular season. they should have announced that, you know, the week before the World Series.
I was told before the show started, I know I hadn't been doing great with my picks, but apparently I lost for the quarter. Like, I have to be shamed. Like, I have to do the walk of shame.
Oh, you're that guy.
Shame.
I'm so confused because I only lost 1 week. The other weeks I was fine, but
shame. Last week you were just awful.
Shame.
If you would just listen to me.
It's pretty bad this week as well.
I mean, if you would just listen to me this week or last week.
Shame.
You wouldn't have to take the walk of shame.
Shame.
Well, it's not just the weekly thing.
You know, I only lost one game.
Huh?
Shame.
I only lost one game.
I haven't really checked.
Shame.
And it was the Raider game that I didn't know where they were tanking.
Yeah, you did pick the Texans. I picked the Broncos. I picked the Broncos by 1 point, and look how close I got. I got darn close, but not close enough.
Because I'm a Mozart when it comes to football.
Who leads on the year, me or you, between the two of us?
I don't know, because I was tied for last in last quarter. How do you find that out?
I do this thing. I can't believe I have to do the not only just the shame thing on the I have to do the walk. Oh my God. That is awful.
I mean, I was good.
You were good when?
Oh, last 2 weeks. I was good.
Were you?
Oh, yeah.
God, I got a lot wrong. I got Seattle. I picked Seattle.
Against one of the hottest teams in football, against the Chargers.
Yeah, that was stupid.
Who just cut their kicker, who missed 3 field goals yesterday, and they still won.
I picked Baltimore. That's a home game.
Against the hot Pittsburgh Steelers.
I picked Washington.
I don't know why you do that.
Washington at home.
Over who?
Atlanta.
Oh.
You can't blame me on that.
You can't do that. Atlanta's cold-blooded.
Yeah. Oh, well. That's me. Shame game. So there you go. King Supers fan football pick'em. Whose idea was this? Terrible idea. Titans and Cowboys tonight right here on The Fan. So what do the Broncos have to pull off during this bye week now that we know VJ's not getting fired? That's a weird day today, right? Like, are you going to be fired or not? Like, I was talking to another respected journalist, and I was like, who do you think shows up at the press conference, Elway or VJ? He was like, 70-30 VJ. And then he goes, talk to me at 5 o'clock.
You know what's crazy? You know what's crazy? Expectations here were nuts from the beginning. They were nuts from the beginning. But, you know, the next coach that we get here probably won't be a Hall of Fame name. If so, if he is a Hall of Fame name, then you have to get rid of the entire front office.
Well, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. If you get
I'm sorry. What'd you say? Take a break.
Say it again now. If you get a Hall of Fame coach, you have to get rid of the entire front office.
All right, let's talk about that coming up next.
It's a Reaction Monday, brought to you by First Bank with Big Al and D-Mac.
Something happening here.
What it is
ain't
exactly clear. There's a man
with a gun over there.
What's he saying?
Telling me I got to beware.
That's right, time to stop.
I think it's time to stop, children.
What's that sound?
Everybody look what's going down.
Here's what's going down. According to Sean in Denver on the RamosLaw.com text line, clean house in the front office. In fact, start even higher. In fact, sell the team, Sean! Head exploding. See? What I said like a couple of years ago, this ownership situation is going to be something. Oh, D-Mac, calm down. Shut up, D-Mac. Mike Silver, alleged journalist D-Mac. Mike Silver, by the way, is a weasel. So when you see those Demaryius comments coming out of an article by Mike Silver, just understand that's a weasel that wrote it.
Listen, we heard some surreal, we had a reporter from, or an alleged journalist
right.
from the Denver area opining about which Bolin kid was the most worthy successor and asking about that succession plan. Roger, you know, I don't know what he was going to do with that.
And maybe tell the truth. Yeah.
Shame.
What a crazy question. Guy, talk about, you think I got some, I don't have personal beefs with Emmanuel Sanders, believe it or not. I've got significant personal beefs with Mike Silver. But he's a legendary reporter. He makes headlines, and now...
He's a jerk.
He's kind of a jerk. And I don't think DT wanted to be portrayed like that. That doesn't sound like DT to me. I saw the photos of DT after the game. He was hanging out with Peyton's kids. Peyton had his son Marshall dress up in an 87 Thomas Houston Texans shirt. DT's family was hanging out like at Von Miller's house before the game, Al. I mean, to think that DT's like angry or all upset or whatever, I'm sure he's disappointed. I'm sure there's an element of like, you know, why me on this situation, and he's probably right about it. the Broncos really wanted to get high value. There's other guys. There's two other guys they could have traded to get higher value than DT. He didn't have to be traded, but it is what it is.
It was the right move.
Yeah.
Bottom line is the right move.
I mean, it was the right move following a wrong move. The wrong move was extending his contract in the first place. But you wanted to look appealing to Kirk Cousins, to God forbid, you know, trying to get Kirk Cousins, who was, according to you, never going to come here anyway. Well, I'm hearing the promos with Mike. I heard what you just said. Go ahead. Where do you want to go deeper with that?
Well, I said if you want to get a guy who is a Hall of Fame level coach, you have to give him control over everything. And maybe now the standard is a 10-year contract. So that's the new standard in the NFL if you want to rebuild your organization. Do you see the Broncos giving somebody $10 million in complete control?
I do not. I told you this the other day. I said, I have come to terms that John Elway is going to be running this show. And to suggest that he's not is a fool's errand. Because there's nobody that's going to replace him. There's nobody that he's really directly accountable to. So I'm okay with it. I'm fine.
Who do you want? You want a guy like...
So anything that happens has to come...
What's the criteria for the new... Give me the criteria...
with John.
The criteria for somebody who would be a quality coach that you can think of right offhand.
With John.
How about Mike McCarthy?
Mike McCarthy?
Yeah, the head coach of the Green Bay Packers.
No, he would need to be the GM too.
You think that he would just come and coach here? Like he would leave Aaron Rodgers?
No.
And he's going to get fired. Probably. He's probably going to get fired in Green Bay.
I don't think he would come here if he wasn't the GM or had significant control of football.
You want Steve Mariucci?
No. I don't want guys who have been out of it that long.
How about Mike Smith?
No.
Okay.
Definitely not Mike Smith.
Wade had a run around here. You want Wade?
Wade? No. John Harbaugh? No. You have to understand something.
How about Brian Billick?
No, you only have one choice.
Gary Kubiak back?
No. Although that would work, though. Hold on a second. Not personally, but that would actually work.
How about Lovie Smith?
I don't know enough about Lovie Smith.
Okay. Jack Del Rio?
Benedict Del Rio? No.
Okay, so this is where I'm trying to get to with you on... You're not getting Sean Payton, you know, no matter what. You're not getting Sean Payton. So who are you looking at? What coach out there is in your wheelhouse?
I don't have anybody.
You want John Fox back?
I'd be okay with that.
I would be really okay with that. I
just talked to Foxy a couple days ago.
I'd be really okay with that.
I'd be fine with that. And that would theoretically work with Elway. Elway was just so disappointed with how the team was prepared for the Super Bowl, rightfully so. It was a disappointing sort of deal.
You have to give all control to Bill Cowher.
You don't have to give control to John Fox. He's happy just to coach.
Jeff Fisher, we can always have that 79
BS.
Yeah, we can have that 79 BS. If you want Jeff Fisher, he's been out 1 year. Mike Shanahan. Tom Coughlin. You see how quickly I went over to Mike Shanahan? I went over that so quick, you didn't even have a chance to react. Tom Coughlin, though. You have to give up organizational control, right?
It's like 90 years old, dude.
I'm just asking. Marty Schottenheimer's still out there.
Is he alive?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, no. So, hold on. Are we operating under the guise that John Elway is in charge?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
What
coach are you thinking out there? You know, what I'm telling you is that you're probably going to get a first-time coach again.
Probably, yeah.
Okay. You're going to get a first-time coach.
So what's the point?
Who has a quarterback room that's not the best.
Right.
So what do you do? What do you do? Do you just say, so we'll just do something new? And I get it. You know, I get it. And trust me, I am as big a Bronco fan as you are out there. Okay? I love them. Okay? My life is so much different and better because of the Denver Broncos. I am a huge Denver Bronco fan. If you told me we could get somebody from the college ranks that has had a long storied career to come here and who is in their late 40s to mid 50s to come here as the head coach, I'm in. I'm in, because that means that we're going to get a brand new offense. But it goes back to the question I asked last week. Can you see John Elway as the president of football operation running an offense that he knows very little to nothing about?
I do not know.
Well, then we can't have that guy.
I know. And that was my conflict, because for such a long time, I was like, my guy really was David Shaw. But I knew that David Shaw...
But he would have to have total control.
That's right. He would have to.
After watching what happened to his predecessor
in
San Francisco, there was a power struggle in San Francisco that forced Harbaugh out from the 49ers. A power struggle. Nobody wants a power struggle after you leave your job to go to another job. You want that job to be a seamless, easy, you know, a handshake agreement that it'll be done my way.
Yeah.
John Gruden got what he wants. See, John Gruden, John Gruden is done. He's taking the average NFL contract and extended it by twice the length and twice the money. So if you want a coach who's had some playoff success, if you want a coach who's had some head coaching experience, you're going to have to give him the kind of things that was given to John Gruden out in Oakland. Otherwise, this is a tough job. I'm telling you, Colorado, this is a tough sale to a coach. What do you tell the coach? The only thing you can tell a coach that is a coordinator right now in the NFL who may be in a position to have a job is that I'm going to give you $25 million. That's the bottom line. I'm going to give you a 5-year, $25 million deal. That's what the deal is.
Yeah, but Al, there is
because you're not telling them you're going to win.
Tons of young coaches that would take that job.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Tons.
But once again, D-Mac, a young coach with a quarterback room that has underperformed this year.
Yeah, young coaches don't care. They're looking for their opportunity and they'll figure it out.
Yeah, no doubt. That's what I'm saying. But who is that guy?
Yeah, I don't know.
You see what I'm saying? He's going to be a young guy with a bad quarterback room.
Twist.
What's the difference?
Here's the twist. You've gone through these growing pains with VJ already. So why would you want to go through them with a new guy?
I have no idea. That's
Is Joe Ellis about to dismiss John Elway? Is that about to happen? Boy, that'd be a newsflash. I doubt it. So firing VJ?
I mean,
why would you groom somebody? Whether you like it or not, you know you're rebuilding anyways. I would absolutely, not only would I not fire VJ, nor would I, and I'm not a big fan of Joe Woods as a DC, but they play tough.
Man, they have gotten every week since that Rams game.
I can't argue with it. Seems to be working. Why would you take all these people, and it hasn't been a lot of fun, that's for sure. But they're learning this stuff on the job. You can see they're improving from last year, even though they're still losing. And what do you want to do, start all over again? By the way, this is my same argument why you draft a quarterback in the top five, because you got to give him a year to just sort of get his feet wet and get up to speed.
But nobody wants to go through that.
Nobody wants to go through it.
That's the bottom line. So the bottom line is, even if you drafted a quarterback in the first, second, or third round, next year is going to be a learning year no matter what.
Right.
Because he's not going to play.
Right.
So
it's really about 2020.
So who wants that job?
Nobody. So you might as well keep VJ here.
Everybody wants a 5-year, $25 million deal.
But John Elway,
you can find guys.
Al, your logic makes sense. John's not about to give up control. You're not going to find guys like John Harbaugh or David Shaw that are going to come in here unless they have the control. They're not going to. You're going to throw away VJ? I mean, I know most of the fans.
What about the 10-year deal? What about the 10-year deal?
For who?
For the next coach.
Well, we'll talk about that like in 2 years. I mean, you know.
Oh, you're saying, okay, so you don't think that a Denver Bronco coach is going to come here for 10 years?
Well, frankly, in 2 years, is John Elway going to still want to do this job?
Probably not. And I'll tell you this. If you want to hire a guy like Lincoln Riley, call it a 10-year deal, $110 million, okay? A big-time deal, it tops what John Gruden was making. And if you want to do that, and then you give him operational control, call it in 3 years, fine. Because guess what? we know that we're going to have that coach around here for whatever time. But it's so hard, and I always remind you guys, you know, the greatest college football coach that we've seen in our lifetime has been Nick Saban. Tried it with the Dolphins and didn't do well. I mean, just didn't do well. So what do you think this is? This is the hardest league to coach in all of pro sports.
Now, hold on really quick. Let me jump in and ask this question. How long of a period of time do you think a head coach should stay here as the head coach of the Denver Broncos?
That's a good question.
I'd say at least 4 years.
I would agree with Alfred.
At least 4 years.
Because in their history, in the Broncos' history, out of the 16 head coaches that they have had, only two of them have been here for a decade or longer.
Yeah, I don't know. Well,
forget about the decade, but a 4 year
like Foxy
stretch,
Foxy was here for 4 years.
Depending on the quarterback, 2 years. But if you are trying to develop a quarterback, man, you got to get a guy. You got to check him out for 4 years.
I think 4 years.
You imagine the night we're going to watch the Dallas Cowboys take on the Tennessee Titans? You know how little success Jason Garrett has with the Dallas Cowboys, and he's been there for what now, a decade? But they believe that, you know, they developed him into the kind of head coach that they wanted. And now him and Jerry Jones are attached to the hip. Mm-hmm.
I tell you what, in terms of what's going on, Mark Schlereth has some thoughts.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
Are you putting your people in the best position to win? And if you look at yesterday's game, it's a microcosm of the things that have happened during the course of the last 2 years. That was a 6-point swing at the end of the first half when you're going to get the ball back. You cost your team a field goal. You end up losing. You cost your team 3 points, and you end up losing by 2.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.